Today we continue the sermon series on the seven deadly sins, and the sin we're going to discuss tonight is envy, the green-eyed monster. Now we are introduced to envy very early in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 4, and this is not very long after we were introduced to the sin of pride by Adam and Eve. We encounter Cain's envy of Abel. You may recall that Abel makes a good offering to God. He offered his firstborn lambs of his flocks, while Cain just offered some of his crops. Abel's offering was pleasing and found acceptable to the Lord, while Cain's lesser offering was found lacking and unacceptable to the Lord. Cain became angry, and the Lord asked him, "Why are you angry? If you act rightly, you will be accepted." God then warns him, "But if not, sin lies in wait at the door. Its urge is for you, yet you can rule over it." Here God is giving Cain notice and encouraging him to not let the green-eyed monster lead him to more and greater sins. The lesson is very clear. God teaches us that even though sin awaits us, through him we can conquer it. Well, you know the rest of the story. The green-eyed monster torments Cain to the point where we see the next big sin in the Bible. Cain kills his brother Abel. Now, in God's great love for us, he gives us the gift of free will. After all, what God wants from us is an authentic love from our own heart. He gives us the freedom to make our own choices and our own decisions. Now, Father Mike Schmidt teaches us in the series The Catechism in a Year that this is not a freedom to do whatever you want, but a freedom to choose to do the right thing. So Cain had the freedom to choose to do the right thing and be happy for Abel because he was successful with his sacrifice, or to choose the wrong thing and be resentful of Abel because his own sacrifice was not acceptable to God. He also could have done as God said and act rightly so he and his sacrifice would be accepted. But instead, he made the wrong decision. Now, God gives us his commandments to protect us from ourselves. The ninth commandment, "Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife," and the tenth commandment, "Thou shalt not covet anything that belongs to your neighbor," are given to us to keep us from becoming envious. As Cain showed us, coveting or becoming envious of our neighbor can and will lead us to other sins, and sometimes to deadly sins. Scott Hahn uses an expression I found to be very helpful in dealing with my limitations and my desires. He actually uses it in an entirely different context, but I found a modified version that helps me deal with envy. To help us to not covet or to not be envious, we need to not look at what others possess, but to be grateful for whatever it is that God has blessed us with. Mr. Hahn's original statement is this: "God gives me everything I want because I want everything he gives me." Let me repeat that. God gives me everything I want because I want everything he gives me. And that includes the good things and the bad things. Now, at the risk of being accused of being like Martin Luther, I want to add the word "only" to this quote. And it would sound like this: "God gives me everything I want because I want only what he gives me." Said a little bit different. God gives me everything I want because I want only what he gives me. I don't want what he's given other people. Knowing that envy can lead us to other sins, it is important to provide a way to battle the deadly sin of envy. And as we've heard in the sermon series, for each of the vices or deadly sins presented, God provides a virtue to combat it. And the virtue that can be used to defeat envy is charity or love. We see this in Scripture when Mary is pregnant with Jesus and she approaches Elizabeth, who is much further along in her pregnancy with John the Baptist. Elizabeth knows that Mary is carrying our Redeemer, as she states, "How does it happen that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now, Elizabeth could have been very envious that her child was not the Savior of the world. But instead, through charity and love of her cousin, she cries out in joy, "Blessed are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." I now want to share a personal story that will demonstrate how you can defeat envy with charity. But before I do, I have to put out a disclaimer. I'm not trying to proclaim myself as the model of virtue. I am a sinner, and one that fully appreciates and uses the sacrament of penance that God gave us. I just want to share one time where I think I got it right and the rewards that came with it. As you all know, I come from a large family of 11 children, which included 6 boys. Growing up, I loved sports, and I'd always envisioned playing professional football when I grew up. However, there was one major problem, and that was I wasn't very good at football. I was either too small for my speed or too slow for my size. And my track coach told me I ran very fast, but I stayed too long in the same place. I was really just missing 2 things, skill and ability. Now, on the other hand, 4 of my brothers were very good at football. They won honors and awards in high school. They were all conference, all area, and they drew attention from several colleges. You may not know this, but Deacon Mark at one time was one of the best kickers and punter in all the upstate and was drawing interest from a lot of colleges, including the University of Georgia. Who knows what might have been had he not suffered a major injury in the middle of his senior year. And my brother Stephen, he won all conference at 2 different positions. I always felt he could have let me have one of those. Now, I could have fallen into deadly sin of envy and begrudged my brothers because of their success. But instead, out of love of my brothers, I became one of their biggest fans. I was very proud of all of them, the good kind of pride. I attended all their games that I could. On most Friday nights, I would come home from college so I could watch them play. Instead of becoming bitter or angry or envious, I enjoyed watching them be successful. And those times hold great and happy memories for me. God gives us the abilities and gifts that He wants for each of us to have individually. It is up to us to appreciate those gifts and use them to the best of our abilities. We are each made uniquely for His purpose. Don't compare yourself to others, and be happy with how God made you and with the blessing He has bestowed on you, and give Him your best in return. When you do this, you will find the joy that He intends for you, and you will find a pure love for Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.